flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL. Our question of the day has grown legs at this point. Just being petty. If the person you hate the most were to experience one slight inconvenience every day for the rest of their lives, what would you choose it to be? And y'all got some petty in you. I'll tell you that for damn sure. Somebody said they always spill a bowl of cereal in their truck every day.
Hey.
I wonder who their enemy is. Somebody said every time they use a towel, it's wet, which is, you are a mastermind. You're an evil mastermind.
That's the worst.
Jerry Jones is your team owner. And then, of course, because I was asking like what the sports versions of it would be, every time it looks like you're going to have an explosive play, shoestring tackle.
he trips on the yard line.
Every time. Just shoestring tackle. Like, oh, he's about to break it. He's about to. No. And that is a rush for 3 yards. Second down.
What about he might have gone all the way.
Or what about a negative penalty? So when you get that big play,
there's always a hole. There's always a, so you get the excitement.
Illegal like, block in the back.
Nope. Yeah. Bringing it back.
Oh, it's coming back.
Mm-hmm. We will replay first down. all right. Let's go around the NFL now, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. If you got extra game day tickets, turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And we begin with one of the big news items that happened yesterday, especially for them folks that love them some Jameis.
Mm-hmm.
Your Super Bowl will not be Jameis Winston-less. Is the way that I wanted to say that. There
Chipotle.
We go. Yes, sir. I forgot about that job. That's right. The Chipotle man himself is going to be back in a bayou. Remember, he played in New Orleans for a little bit. I guess maybe.
He's from New Orleans.
He played. No, he's from Bama. He's from Alabama.
I thought he lived in Alabama.
He's from Bessemer.
Does he live there? That's why he's from Bessemer.
He's from the same place as D'Amico.
Remember, he played there. He played in New Orleans.
That's what it was. Okay.
He
knows New Orleans.
Oh, 100%.
And that is why he is going to serve as a correspondent for Fox Sports Digital. Now, he's not going to be on the Super Bowl broadcast itself, but he will be around New Orleans.
Doing some content.
I imagine during the radio row, like we are out there, so maybe there's a possibility that Sports Radio 610 bumps in to Jameis Winston.
That's an A-plus hire, man.
That's awesome.
That's a wonderful idea. I mean, it's not having them on the desk or anything like that. Just give me some good content around
Jameis,
New Orleans.
Go be yourself, is what they're saying. Remember, he's a big Popeyes guy, too.
Yeah.
He had that other...
endorsement with Popeyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he had the locker room. He was explaining it to some teammates or something. There was a clip about that.
I do love that Fox Sports, in announcing this, they headlined it on their own website. Jameis Winston, viral star, joined. what did he go viral for?
Everything.
What did he go viral for?
Yeah.
And yes, so I'm trying to get an idea of like what exactly his responsibilities will be. And of course, they link to the eating a W and all sorts of things for Jameis. But yeah, he will just be responsible for like creating, I guess, stories or whatever. He might be walking around amongst people.
He needs to be Snoop at the Olympics. Everything. Just go out and do the town.
He'll take fans through a tour of Big Easy and a series of digital videos as he visits several of his favorite go-to spots.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it needs to probably be a little more organic than that, mm-hmm. but I'll take it. Yeah. I will take it and see. Because one of the things I appreciate about Jameis, he is being sincere. Like, mm-hmm. it feels all of that to be that case. And, you know, he has had a lot of moments where, with that sincerity, he has been absolutely hilarious.
He's awesome.
I want to see it. Now, we're around New Orleans. Like, how funny would it be? You said he's a Popeyes guy. If he's taking the people, like, to national chain type spots instead. Like, you know that person who they're giving you a tour. You're like, this is my city. Like, oh, man, what's the best place to eat? All right,
the
Olive Garden has really, like, if you like Italian, I got this spot. It's called the Olive Garden. They got the tour.
But
of
that
Italy.
Would be Jameis.
I don't know if that would.
I could absolutely see him doing a little bit like that and being sincere.
I like the simple fact because you could tell he getting a little money for promoting little local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play this for y'all real quick. This is him promoting some, I guess it's like a seafood spot where you can buy crab legs and all that stuff.
What's up, y'all? Jameis here. As you make your plans for the big game, go right now to get a pound of free crab legs with the purchase of $250 or more from Fulton Fish Market, an official partner of SFC. So go now to FultonFishMarket.com/free crab.
I mean, Jameis knows there's one way you can get free crap.
He knows about free crap.
That's right. Oh, yeah. No, but yeah, man, he's leaning into it, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of happy for him in that way that he's getting to enjoy it. And we'll see mm-hmm. how entertaining the content is. I trust him to be funny, but I will do wonder if he is trying to be entertaining.
He needs a reality show, man.
Oh, he'll get one. Oh, he absolutely will.
Does
have
he?
One.
Does he need a full reality
yes.
show?
Yes, he does.
I think so.
Yes,
if they do it right, it ain't got to be like a messy reality show. Yeah. Like just him being a family man, coming home to his kids and trying new things,
funny stuff he says.
I feel like Jameis
sincerely
just have him trying new things.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Jameis is fun in bits in like chunks. I don't know if I want like full 30-minute episodes.
I don't know. Like, I could see, you know, Snoop just dominated the Olympics because you never knew where he was going to be, what he was going to be doing. I could see Jameis doing that here and then maybe also like a reality show.
I think if you put him in the right situation where he tries some random weird stuff.
Yes.
And he could give his honest opinion on different things, I think it'd be gold.
Jameis tries new things. There you go.
I think 2 Chainz at one point had a show like that on Viceland.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to. Now,
he too cool for school though, man.
Yeah, that's true. And it was also a really expensive things, which what a heady play, right? I will have a show where I try really expensive things, and thus mm-hmm. it is now incumbent upon the TV channel to pay for all these expensive things that I will try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really smart play. Yeah. Really smart play. Hard Knocks, Jameis Winston edition. Oh, goodness. A lot. That is a lot. All right. So, yeah, Jameis Winston will be a reporter Super Bowl week for Fox Sports. Some other things around the NFL. The NFL is taking a victory lap on one thing that they implemented this year, and that is the dynamic kickoff rule. They're mm-hmm. saying it worked as intended with more returns and fewer injuries. That is per executive vice president, I can't leave off that executive, of the NFL, Jeff Miller. He said that yesterday, that the league wanted to see more returns, more big plays, better starting field positions for the offense, and fewer injuries, and it got all of those things. 57% increase on returns. Starting line advanced several yards, according to them, more touchdowns and more dynamic kickoffs out past the 40 in this. How did you feel? Because, I mean, I feel like that is clearly a mm-hmm. positive spin by the people who implemented the thing, the people who are now telling you that we implemented a thing that worked. Pat on the back for us.
Well, it is, but I don't think they're making up numbers.
No, I wouldn't say making up numbers, but I'm just saying from your perspective as a viewer, did you feel like it was the success
exactly.
that they claim it to be?
As a viewer, and I don't know, are we supposed to say this or not? Because we all criticize the NFL about just about everything, and they deserve it oftentimes. I liked it.
Okay.
All they need to do is figure out an onside kick for all 4 quarters. You know? Because
one that you still have the element of surprise in is what you're
That's
going
all
for.
They need to do. Did y'all like it? I liked it.
I was down with it at first, yeah. But I kind of missed the old, like me watching college football kind of made me miss the old kickoff rule.
Yeah. Well, college is like probably going to change
I like
rule.
How they be in the line and they be moving back and forth and then they all take off and run. Yeah. And try. I like that a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah, me personally, I take it or leave it. Like, it did not feel like it was a major upgrade. But one thing I will say is, for me, with the kickoff, I don't know that I had a lot of, yo, this needs to change besides the health and safety aspects of it. And so if they
helping, then I'm fine.
Sure.
With it.
I'm cool with that. It still feels like a play that is, or it does not necessarily feel to the level that they try to sell it, where we are making this because we want this to be a football play. We want it to feel like a football play. It's still
more
does not
exciting.
Have, it does not have that feel to me personally. But if it is safer in that, if we can, you know, demonstrably say that, I'm cool.
I just don't like the style of the new one, man, where it's just only the kicker moving.
Yeah.
It
takes some getting used to, and I think maybe I just got used to it.
It's hard to see it. That's one of the things, is like it's hard to kind of see what's happening with the flow until like the camera directly get, because when you had that wide shot and the ball is kicked, you're like, where is it kicked? Because usually you get a little feel of that with the flow of where guys are setting up in the previous iteration of the kickoff. Now it's just like, what's happening? They're all static. Has the ball even been kicked? And then you get a whistle and you're like, oh, I missed it. Somebody already kicked it.
Yeah.
Or I feel like, the whole flow of it. But we'll see if there's any like changes that are made. That's one of the things that the NFL does often, is that once they get to the offseason, if tweaks are necessary, like we know that replay is probably going to get some tweaks expanded.
And maybe the onside thing.
Maybe so. I don't know what the ultimate rule would be that fixes that, though. Like, again, having to declare, like, I understand why you have to do that because of the way that you've set this up. But this, at least this NFL coming out and having this posturing, it makes it feel like the dynamic kickoff is here to stay at the very least for another year.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL, there's obviously we have like the Shrine Bowl and we have the Senior Bowl, these kind of college football bowl game or games that like bring in all of the best talent so that they can basically serve as pseudo combines for to get more information for the scouting staffs of the NFL teams, get a better idea of what these guys that are coming into the league look like, and maybe give them something else to look at as opposed to just the tape of their games in college. Well, Shedeur Sanders is one of the, if not the most coveted players in this draft, if for no other reason than his name is Sanders, and he plays quarterback, and obviously he was a very, very, very well-watched, I guess, as a player at Colorado. Well, he did not practice at the Shrine Bowl at all, and it seems like that is not him posturing, but it seems like the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants all asked Shedeur Sanders to not practice at the Shrine Bowl.
I would. Those are the top three teams in the draft. That's 1, 2, 3, man. I mean, so.
So what's the reason?
They don't want him to get hurt.
Okay.
They don't want him to get hurt. And I mean, if I had one of those three picks, I'd ask. That doesn't mean he has to.
Yeah, and so Shedeur and his quarterback coach ended up deciding not to practice or participate in any of the Shrine Bowl practices as well. Obviously, they agreed. He's widely viewed as one of the top two quarterbacks with, of course, Miami's Cam Ward, and with the Colorado played well, and then even played well in the Alamo Bowl. So I mean, I don't know that you're going to change people's perspective of you in practice or a search situation like that, but he was out there though.
His brother changed perspectives, apparently.
Who, Shiloh?
Yeah, apparently he was getting torched.
Yes, he was getting torched, but I don't know if that changed perspective.
Well, that's true.
I don't know
that. That's true.
I mean, since he was, what was he? I think maybe a 3 or 4 star coming out originally into college when he went to South Carolina, if I remember correctly. Since then, like, he hadn't been like super highly regarded. He's just been, he followed his pops and he played football for what felt like 7 years, and now He's a cornerback who is there, or like a defensive player. I don't remember if he's specifically a cornerback. I can't recall. I think he might have been safety.
He was playing cornerback at the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, he's a defensive back for certain.
Yeah.
All right. And as we continue around the NFL, I found this to be interesting because of the interpersonal relationships here. I know that Peyton Pendergast has been playing that audio with Ted Johnson.
Oh yeah.
Digging into this interpersonal relationship that is one of those store or conversation that you could have at any given time about the NFL, which is how much
what percentage?
Yes. How much credit do you give to Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick? And I don't know if this fully fits into that place, but I don't know. I have a hard time not thinking of it in that way, as apparently Bill Belichick suggested that the Super Bowl trophy be renamed, renamed to what you might ask? Mm-hmm. Renamed after Tom Brady. He said that because the Lombardi Trophy, named obviously after one of the great coaches in the history of the game, he said that coaches can't win games without players, so he suggested that you rename the trophy after Tom Brady, who won an NFL record 7 Super Bowl rings in his career, with 6 of those obviously coming in New England with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, look, I appreciate and kind of, you know, endorse the sentiment, you know, keeping things more modern. You know, sort of giving due to a player that is, at least for now, the greatest quarterback in history.
Yeah, because we all know Tom Brady does not get enough due.
Yeah, well, I'm saying
nobody sings the sentiment of Tom Brady
honoring the greatest quarterback in history with something. What I don't like is certain trophies, you could probably change the name. I don't think you can change the Lombardi Trophy. It's like generations have grown up with the Lombardi Trophy, the highest of the high.
I think he just kind of living in the moment too.
Yeah.
Because remember, I think they tried to do that with the, I think in the NBA, tried to name something like, I guess change the logo to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel like people kind of just live in the moment where when something happened, they like, oh, we need to change it to something current. I don't think everything need to be changed.
I agree.
Yeah, I think what the NBA did might be somewhat, the NFL already has some of these, but the NBA, they named some of those other trophies.
Yeah, like do
the,
something like that.
No, you know, that's cool.
The,
yeah.
That's cool. You know, Eastern Conference Championship Trophy and the Western Conference and the MVP. And, yeah, they named those. But the NFL already has like the Lamar Hunt Trophy and some of those things. Like, I maybe you start naming the MVP award after, you know, like maybe you start getting to that place. But I don't know that you changed the name of the trophy.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't think nobody complaining about the name of it or anything like that.
Is that the second most prestigious trophy in American sports?
American sports is Green Jacket is number one.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Stanley Cup's number one.
Green Jacket is number one.
Disagree. Strong disagree.
But you're wrong.
There's no way. There's no way the Green Jacket's number one.
The Green Jacket is the most prestigious trophy in American sports.
713-572-4610. Please tell us, Dan. There's no way.
And you said Stanley Cup?
But that's right. That is the most prestigious trophy in and of itself. This is the Stanley Cup. 100%.
What am I going to do with you?
What are you talking about?
No, it's up there. It's up there.
They literally put everybody's names on it, and you have the opportunity.
You're just caught up, and they get to take it home. Well, they get to.
Is that not part of the prestige?
They get to take home the Green Jacket.
Okay.
The Green Jacket.
Do they? Don't they have to leave it in the clubhouse?
No, you get to, they can leave it in their locker, but you get to take it home. Especially the defending champion takes home.
Feel like it's better or is the best?
Yeah, you see somebody in that Green Jacket, you know exactly who he is and what he did.
Okay, and that does not work when somebody's carrying a 6-foot-tall trophy. Sure, that's right. What are you talking about?
It's the Green Jacket. It's not even close.
He didn't even go with like any of these other. Like he went to the Green.
Yeah.
Jacket.
In American sports. 100%.
Ah, okay. We've got some interesting. Somebody said World Series Championship. Heisman. Somebody said it's the Heisman.
Heisman's
idiots.
Up there.
Appreciate you calling us idiots on top of that. You don't have to do that. You hurt my feelings. Heisman's up there for sure.
Heisman's up there. All of them. Larry O'Brien's up there. All of them are up there. The Green Jacket is number one. It's number one.
Lombardi. Somebody said from a black man, Lopez is right. I'm a black man too. And I'm saying he's wrong. What now?
How did race get into this?
Wow. Wait a minute.
Always bringing up race. Y'all always bringing up race.
Here's the funny thing. I'm not even worried about the race. I'm just like, everybody came in real hot on this. Somebody was like, he said sport, not hobby, Lopez. I was like, damn, now golf is catching strays.
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Well, actually, guys, I said exactly what I said. Yeah, the defending champion gets to carry the Green Jacket for the first year. That's what I said. Yeah, for the year they get to keep it.
Okay,
Green Jacket.
There's a lot of people coming with you with the Green Jacket.
It's not close.
But I the Stanley Cup.
It's up there.
Stanley is like most coveted. All of these things, and the idea of taking it home, I think, matters in this, right? And the fact that it's the same trophy that they keep. It's not like replicas that they're giving out.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
And it's a big ass trophy too.
It's got a bunch of dents in it.
It does have a bunch of dents in it.
Yeah.
I'm amazed
by that. If that trophy could talk, by the way.
I am absolutely amazed by the people that are like, first thing we're going to do is drink out of this. And I'm like, have you not seen the nefarious things that we know that people have done with that trophy? Talk less of the disgusting things that we don't know.
How much sex has that trophy had?
Okay, so you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio.
That's a serious question.
What do you expect me to say to that?
Figgy.
You know Lopez, he's a lightweight kind of creepy guy.
What do you expect me to say to that, John Lopez?
Everybody's thinking it. You alluded to it.
Everybody, a.k.a. John Lopez.
Did you not allude to that?
No.
Yes, you did too.
I was talking about just like the nasty stuff that people have put in there. Like not
nefarious things.
Yes.
How much sex has the Stanley Cup trophy had?
713-572-4610 if you would like to answer that question that John Lopez just asked over you know, FCC regulated airwaves. Wow. Unbelievable. I have a strong feeling that our program director will be walking in this break. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out. This is what happens on a Thursday, I guess, is that we end up doing stuff like this. Super Bowl number one for the 346. I disagree, but okay.
Yeah. Very good. I feel like the players don't even care about the Super Bowl stuff.
Well, I mean, they care about the Super Bowl.
Man, Tom Brady was throwing that
Super Bowl. He sure did. Yeah, but at that point, that was the number seven. Like, at that point, he had a few of them.
Yeah.
He was treating that.
He was throwing it over the bay.
He did not care.
That was like his seventh child. First child, you take him home, you like swaddle him. Seventh child, you're like, get home safe, kid. I'll catch you at the crib. All right. Coming up next, Rockets back in action tonight. They're facing off against the Memphis Grizzlies with an opportunity to sweep them in play this year. How big is that? What are the stakes on this game? We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I'm trying to remember what song this is now and who produced it. If you can work on that.
Produced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this sounds like a Ninth Wonder beat, but I also, like, that's way.
It might be.
It sounds like a Ninth Wonder
because
beat.
I put a whole bunch of Ninth Wonder beats. Sorry, Lopez, we just singling you out, but yeah, I put a lot
Lopez
of
Lopez is
going to
be like,
beats.
No, I love Ninth Wonder. Yeah. Yeah.
We go way back.
I need to update it.
I ain't mad at it. I love it. All right, let's talk about the Rockets, but also whatever has happened on this, whatever just happened in that last segment. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for anybody listening.
Read the written statement.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I'd like to take this moment to apologize to anyone and everyone that I may have offended. No, if you need any idea how this Thursday is going for us, this was the last text that came in on the text line, literally the top one. Who has had more sex, Wilt Chamberlain or Lord Stanley's Cup? Ooh. That is what time we've been on today.
That's a tough one.
But yes, somebody said America does compete in the World Cup. Okay, yes.
You said America.
Yeah, I don't know why I put that parameter on there, because then if we took that off, like I think the claret jug would pop up even higher in golf, and maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, a lot of people are on the idea that, hey, the green jacket for the Masters, which isn't actually the trophy, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah, like, no, it's not, but it kind of is. Yeah.
That is one of the ways that I could try and win this argument, is being like, that's not even the trophy, and put that as my trump card down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, a lot of people are in on the idea of the green jacket being the top one, if for no other reason than the green jacket is, quote, drip. Shout out to the 281. But nah, I've also got enough people that are saluting and standing with me on the Stanley Cup. And I want to make it clear, I was not thinking that when I said nefarious things, I was not thinking sexual activity. I was just thinking, you know how many people have just like, taking that into pools and into oceans and put it all sorts of different places, and then you're just going to put food in it? You're going to eat cereal out of this?
You can
real?
Eat cereal.
That's in your entirely truck. Unsanitary. With the Lord Stanley's cup in your truck? Okay, that's a whole
set
different
set it right
level.
There by the console.
That's a whole different level. All right, let's talk about the Rockets, man. I'm not trying to shortchange these guys because they have a big-time game, which I'm kind of getting tired of saying that. Not tired in the sense that like I'm super excited that they have all these games that are really big and that they have opportunities not to have big games, but that they can really showcase how good they are in these big games. But a big-time game against the Grizzlies, and they've had a lot of these of late. What are the stakes on this game that, honestly, I'm not afraid that they're going to lose? They had the Grizzlies' numbers, and that's one of the stakes in it for me as well, is that with a win in this game, they have an opportunity to go 4-0 versus the Memphis Grizzlies, a feat that they have not done against a team in their division. I know the divisions, people don't really care about those, really, in the NBA, but they haven't done at least for the last, what, four seasons? And I'm going to keep looking as I go back, but having an opportunity, like actually sweeping the likes of the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, even the San Antonio Spurs, they have not done that in a long time. And so I feel like just an opportunity to really establish dominance in a way over a team, even the good or bad, would be a really big thing, especially when you look at a Grizzlies team that a few years ago was like in the similar spot as the number two team in the West, a team that was kind of an upstart. They've had some injuries. I think last year that definitely took them out, but it's still a team that's well-regarded, has a star player, has a really, really good coach. And for you to go up and smack them up and down four times this year would be a phenomenal testament to what this team is doing under Ime Udoka.
That's the here and now. And that's where you get excited about this game tonight, because you know, you just went through it. I mean, the teams that they've beaten, you know, sweeping the Grizzlies, I believe, first time in like 15 years, something like that, if they can get it done. I'm going somewhere else with this, because here we are all of a sudden in the last, you know, week or so, we're acknowledging this team is real. This team is a contender. We'll see what happens in the postseason, but they sure do seem equipped to be a squad that can make a lot of noise. That's where we are now. We can actually start talking about just how good, just how many wins can this team get? Because if you didn't know this, after tonight, the Rockets have the easiest schedule in the NBA for the remainder of the year. Depending on where, you know, what parameter you're looking at, what data you're looking at. I was looking at it yesterday, and I just refreshed my memory. They have either the easiest or the second easiest schedule the rest of the way. And that's where the standings are now. All of a sudden, we're talking 57. They're on pace for, what, 56 wins right now? 58?
That sounds about right.
59? And then what does that do, you know, for setting up the postseason?
Right.
That's where I'm going.
The basic parameters, if you're not like super NBA pilled, is that, you know, 50 wins is pretty mm-hmm. solid season. 60 wins is like, oh, man, you're a really good team. And you're, at least when that projection goes, you're starting to get close to that. I always tend to look at like Tankathon and look at their remaining strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. That's based off of opponents' win percentage in reverse, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think the Rockets in the top, or like, I guess, yeah, top third of easiest in that circumstance, mm-hmm. When it comes to like remaining opponents, but still a very like a very manageable schedule. And I think you feel even better about that because of the stretch of games that you're going, that you've just been on the road a decent amount, mm-hmm. as well, against some of the best teams in the West, and missing some of your pieces that you feel value, you know, really strong about.
Yeah.
If you were able to cap this off with a win in Memphis, I think that really speaks highly to where you stand. We got people like now fully leaning in on the national scale about how, one, this is one of the most fun teams in the league to be to look at. Mm-hmm. Two, like the star potential that is here for the Houston Rockets, which, I mean, for particularly Amen Thompson is clearly there and taking over a lot of the conversation. This what a fantastic place to be for this Rockets team, and I think that you can fully put a cap on that. Or fully, you know, I guess put an exclamation point is probably the better way to say it, yeah. With a win tonight in Memphis.
Yeah, after tonight, they have two left. These are the tough games. Two left against Oklahoma City, one against the Knicks, one against the Bucks, two against the Lakers. Easier, two against the Nuggets. They have three against the Jazz, two against Brooklyn, one against the 76ers, one against the Bulls. So, all of a sudden you're thinking, all right, so we've established ourselves. Now, where do we go? Now you can go to some pretty lofty heights with this squad, and obviously stay healthy and keep getting what you're getting out of these guys that are emerging.
Yeah. So, is there anything in particular you're looking for? I asked Adam Spillane this yesterday, that you're looking for in this game, or is it just like get another victory?
Well, I think, you know what I want to. All eyes right now are on Amen Thompson, and I want to just see that. You know, we talk about Jalen Green consistently and his consistency. I'm not worried about that. I'm just curious, like, how dominant and how much of a franchise guy can he become for the remainder of the year? Because then that starts snowballing a little bit. And he's so good on both ends of the floor. Are they going to be able to have more than one option? They do have more than one option that can score late, but more than one go-to option. Late.
Yeah. I would much rather them not be able to figure it out in this game rather than handle their business.
Yeah.
Haven't swept a regular season series in 15 seasons. Mm-hmm. Have the opportunity to do that tonight. I think also one of the things that has been a mild curiosity for me with this Rockets team is seeing the teams with really, really strong dribble penetrators.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like a Ja Morant. I think the reason why this popped back up for me is when you played Atlanta a couple nights ago. Trae Young is one of those dudes who is little and quick and obviously a great passer. I think he leads the league. Last time I checked, led the league by a pretty solid margin and mm-hmm. assists per game. And seeing, like, I mean, you know that perimeter defense is one of the things that the Rockets do well, but they have pretty large guys that are long. And sometimes you can see like those quick, really fast dribble penetrators get to the center of their defense and kind of make it tough. I want to see what that looks like because, again, coming off of the second night of back-to-back mm-hmm. Against Atlanta makes that look a little bit worse. How does that look now with rest against someone like a John Morant? Actually, I'm trying to remember. John Morant, I believe he is indeed playing in this game. I want to make sure that that is case before I say that. But yeah, someone like a John Morant who would give those kind of that kind of test to a team.
No, well, I think that's absolutely true. I also think what's true and the fact that it's Memphis and you can sweep them, there's a really good chance you're going to see them again. And to have that edge on them, to have the, be able to know that you've got the matchup advantage and you've dominated them, that's another, check on the right side of the ledger.
Yeah. John Morant, technically a game time decision on this one. I think the expectation is that he plays. And I think one of the things that will play is his advantage. And hey, adds another part of the stakes here. Mm-hmm. This is a national TV game.
It's a TNT game.
It's a TNT game, yeah. Which means that you're getting a little bit of a later start as well, 8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, this one might run you a little late in the evening. Go ahead and
tomorrow's keep Friday.
That. I mean, if you have an opportunity to catch a nap or something, you might do that mm-hmm. as well. Tomorrow, what is that supposed to mean? You still got to go to work on Friday, don't you?
Everybody cheats on Thursdays. Thursday's the last. You know what? Let's go ahead and have a good time.
What do you mean by that?
Because everybody mails in Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think you should say, again, we're going to have another back-to-back.
I didn't say I mail in Friday. I didn't say you mail in Friday.
I feel like that was the implication.
I did say everybody.
Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams, both game-time decisions in this.
Steven Adams is something I want to see.
Yeah, but I think Şengün's the bigger story here. Because
yeah, but I just like the way he fits in. You're right. Şengün's probably the bigger overall story.
Yeah, because that's been something that, we're watching. It seems mm-hmm. like there's been, he's had like an injury thing that they're now admitting to. Like, mm-hmm. I think that earlier on in the season, and I'm not sure that this has been the case all the way through. It felt like he had definitely gotten to a place where he looked fairly healthy. But of late, you've seen a little bit of struggles, especially mm-hmm. with mobility. And of course, on the second night of a back-to-back, again, going to the Atlanta game, maybe some of that you just attribute to fatigue.
Yeah.
But, is this a game where you see continued lack of mobility if he plays? Or is this to a place where he's going to need the day off mm-hmm. or the night off, especially in a time where you don't have Jabari Smith to kind of help bridge the gap there? Would you end up being really small as a team and having a lot more, whether Jock Landale and Steven Adams, if he plays as well, in this game? I think that's an interesting place to watch it all as well, rather, as both of those guys, Şengün and Steven Adams, currently game time decisions in this one.
It's good to have depth, that's for sure, and the Rockets have that. But yes, I want Steven. Now look, it's not even close to the postseason yet, but I want to see what he can do with this iteration of Amen Thompson, with this rotation that he's using, and especially against Memphis.
Man, put the league on notice, man. Yeah. A national TV game and getting a chance to do something you haven't done in 15 years. Go and sweep the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate someone saying that they believe the Rockets are going to be the number one seed. I don't necessarily agree with that, because that Thunder team still looks really good, and Chet Holmgren is not back yet. So, yeah, man, that one's going to be tough for me to get to. But the two seed is... I think I still want to stop and appreciate how much further along they
get
are
too greedy
than what I had imagined. Yeah. Where they were talking about their goal was a playoffs mm-hmm. to be a playoff team. And I was like, man, they could be a real life playoff team. And yes, they are mm-hmm. even more mm-hmm. than a real life playoff team. Big game tonight, 8:30 on TNT versus the Memphis Grizzlies. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping on this Thursday. And I pray to God that there will be significantly less Stanley Cup sex talk. We'll be next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's do a little What's Poppin' here on a Thursday. And I would like to start.
They're still coming. They're still coming in.
I'd like to start by, wishing Amen Thompson, I'm going to say his name right. I'm going to call him Amen. I'm going to call him Amen. Amen Thompson, a happy birthday. Happy 22nd birthday, young fella. You are out here hooping it up. And I believe Kelly Eco actually has a pretty good Q&A mm-hmm. Interview with Amen Thompson on The Athletic, just kind of getting into some of his growth and development and those types of things. That man defends Overtime Elite, the pathway that he took outside, mm-hmm. out of high school. He defends that with his life. He really respects it. But yeah, man, shout out to Overtime Elite for bringing us Amen Thompson, because that man is hooping.
22 years old.
That's right.
Outside of going to school and maybe getting a degree, what had you accomplished by your 22nd birthday?
What did I think I had accomplished? Because I thought I knew something.
Either or.
I did not know anything.
Well, I'm trying to think, when I was 22, outside of going to school, which obviously that's a huge accomplishment for anyone to go and get your degree and all that stuff. But I'm talking about life. What have you accomplished? What did you accomplish by the time you were 22?
Not a damn thing.
Nothing of real note.
I was running around here doing nothing. Working a regular job, doing nothing, no plan.
Doing nothing well,
I was
no plan.
I was rapping, but that wouldn't go get me far, far.
How about you?
Nothing. It's the same, man. I was still doing school. Was I still doing school at that point? Yeah, I think I was still doing school at that point, you know, just...
I mean, I had a job.
I had changed majors.
That's it.
So there you go.
I'd gotten into this business right out of college, but...
There you go. You was doing a little something.
Had
you had the writer's equivalent of hitting a game winner?
Nah, okay. I was covering high schools, man. Okay. Well, all due respect.
Covering high schools
all due respect.
But it is also it's a grind. So shout out Amen Thompson. Really, really making a name for all 22-year-olds out there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I guess from that happy note to a kind of a sad one. I don't know if I imagine some people have seen, but you know, especially in our new media space,
mm-hmm.
it can be pretty segmented, and maybe people did not see the like serious news that happened. There was a crash with an American Airlines flight and a military helicopter at Reagan International Airport, an airport that we were at not like a few months ago.
In air. Yeah.
In
December.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible accident. Where there were no survivors. At least that's what's being reported right now. And the reason why this is sports related is that there were some U.S. figure skating and Russian figure skating athletes and coaches on board. And so, really sad instance that happened there that is being talked about pretty widely.
So apparently they were in Wichita, I believe, flying to D.C. They had some sort of training camp for basically the future of U.S. figure skating. The Russians that were on board were coaching. There might have been some others as well, but it was mostly young American highest ranked figure skaters. Just incredibly tragic.
Very tragic.
I will say that airport is a little scary too, man, because when we landed there it was like nighttime and it's right off the water
tight right on the Potomac.
When you land, when you going into that airport,
you think you're landing on the water.
It looked like you about to roll right in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's scary, man.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously condolences to the loved ones. I know that I saw what almost felt borderline like lacked a little bit of tact. But there was an interview with a man who was there waiting for his wife. He had gotten a message that they were going to land, which I mean, gut-wrenching stuff. So like sincerely, hearts go out to the folks who were affected by that tragedy, especially folks that have ties to the figure skating situation there. Wow, some of y'all were doing some big things at the age of 22, from the 832, singing in the Houston Grand Opera. And then
Big time.
The big time. Someone said they had a 5-year-old and were putting themselves through school. So yeah, you was doing it big too.
Salute.
And then the 281, someone who I do not want to mess with, they said they took out a number of American enemies at 20. Okay.
All right.
Hey, man.
All right. Salute to them too.
Yeah, I was about to say thank you for your service, or are you out in these streets? I'm not sure, man.
He wasn't specific.
I got some homie that took out some Americans too, man.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh, but God. All right. As we continue into what's popping, I know today is a big day for the Texans. They interview a couple more of the candidates for their offensive coordinator job, one internal, one external. Bill Lazor, who is the senior offensive assistant for this offensive staff, he will get an interview today. I know that I saw that Aaron Wilson was the one that I saw that. Mm-hmm. That reported that been a coordinator at this level three times, in fact, which, I mean, I don't think any of the other guys that have been interviewed for this thing
can say.
No,
none have been
the
play caller.
So, and being a play caller is something that is unique with the pool as we know it currently. The other one is a widely regarded name, widely well-regarded name, in fact, I should say. Nick Cayley, who's currently the passing game coordinator in L.A., and I guess one of the things that it's not new, but it's worth remembering, is that he turned down an opportunity to be offense coordinator with the Patriots with last cycle. And it's, the report is that he was offered $3 million. So he knows that not all money is good money. It makes it very abundantly clear that he is waiting for the right opportunity rather than just an opportunity to be a play caller.
Yeah, you got to respect that. Do we know, is D'Amico still at the Senior Bowl? Or did he come back?
I don't know. Yeah. I know that yesterday, because there's a lot of people that are out there doing some good work and, you know, reporting and getting video and all sorts of stuff that's happening out there. I know that I saw a video of Caserio, I believe, yesterday.
With D'Amico.
I think I saw D'Amico, pictures of D'Amico on, well, I guess yesterday was Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yesterday, but I don't know if they're coming back.
I gotta imagine if you have two interviews, you came back for them, right?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that's how video.
Of course, they could be meeting there.
That is also a possibility.
Yeah. If they already met.
A lot of the NFL world has descended upon that place. Like, all it takes is a hotel room or a conference room or whatever to have a meeting. Although, usually, when we're talking about interviews, these aren't your 30-minute. Like, these are long, drawn-out, multiple-hour situations where, you know, you come in and you lay out, hey, what is your full plan for what is happening there? So, yeah. We will get to five known candidates by the end of today. Maybe already. I don't know what the actual timeline is. They don't give us they don't give us their itinerary there. But yeah, a couple more guys being interviewed for that job. How about this? As we've talked about All-Stars already with the Pro Bowl games happening later today, or the Thursday Skills Challenge, which I think Skills Show rather, which will, I know that Derek Stingley, I know that Danielle Hunter, I saw that who was the other one? Oh, yeah, Nico Collins, who will be doing trivia, funny enough. Those guys are all going to be participating in some shape or fashion in that tonight. But speaking of other All-Star situations, we're only about a week and a half, 2 weeks out from NBA All-Star Weekend, which, again, no, not everybody's excited about. But there was a possibility to have an event that would really garner, I imagine, a lot of interest. Caitlin Clark already garnered a lot of interest for the WNBA and for women's college basketball before that. And there was thoughts that maybe she could help garner some interest for an All-Star Weekend thing that they've kind of developed, which is this three-point contest. Not the regular three-point contest amongst the players in the league, but then this kind of little challenge that was done. I know last year it was Steph Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu. There was some hypothesizing and rumors that you could possibly see a Sabrina Ionescu team up with Caitlin Clark versus, or in some conjunction with, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. It has been reported yesterday, in fact, it was reported that Caitlin Clark rejected that. I think what she ultimately put up is that her decision was, you know, that if she wanted to do that, she would want to do it first and foremost in the WNBA and the three-point contest there before, you know, doing any level of branching out, I imagine.
You'll hear from this again at 1 p.m. In buy or sell, but my first reaction to this would be, you know, that's an honorable thing to do. You know, hey, the WNBA, I want my first contest to be there. But I also think there might be some other factors here, you know, whether it's, you know, financial, or she just doesn't want to, you know, sort of steal away any attention from the WNBA to the NBA. I don't know. But whatever it is, I think it was a win-win if she went. I'm a little confused why she's not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, according to her representatives at Excel Sports, she just would like to do the WNBA All-Star three-point contest. She wants that to be her first. So maybe there's like a you know, sentimentality there.
I'm looking out for our All-Star weekend, not y'all's.
Yeah. I guess so. And she didn't participate last year in her rookie year. But yeah, and I think that's in part because, no, I don't recall exactly why that was.
Well, she got drafted later, didn't she?
Well, I mean, the WNBA season starts after their draft.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would have been really helpful. I imagine a lot of people would have turned in. And last year's All-Star Saturday night, and with that particular showcase, went up 31% from the previous year. So, you know, still a really low number overall versus the rest of their, you know, participation or rest of their numbers on these competitions or these Saturday nights. But yeah, they were hoping to kind of float some of those things a little bit more. And I guess speaking of floating various things, is this the right place to do this? Do we have time to do this and get into this?
No, you have
this as a confession.
I have it as a confession, too.
I will save it for there.
Yeah.
I did want to laugh a little bit more, or maybe not laugh. I'll circle back to the question that you asked, as it is Amen Thompson's 22nd birthday. Mm-hmm. It said they were collateral duty inspector for two squads, I'm guessing, of F-18s when they were 20 years old. Yeah, man. I feel like anybody that's going to get in here with the military part of it, you win the game. I want to make that abundantly clear. You win. From the 281, they said they were breaking their two upper front teeth from opening a beer can. With
yes. That's,
shout out to Splitty.
That's most of us.
Yeah, shout out to Splitty.
At 22. Yeah, man. I mean, Amen Thompson just at 22. Just turned it today. all the things that he's already accomplished and done and still ahead of him.
Now, we were mentioning, speaking of Amen Thompson, like he's going to be playing tonight in Memphis. I was mentioning the idea that there's kind of game time decisions on Alperen Şengün, Steven Adams, and also John Morant for the Grizzlies. That is the case. However, warm-ups, you know, shoot-around has started for, you know, early points of the day. You know, mm-hmm. those guys show up early on in the day, and they're there pretty much all the way through the game. And both Alperen and Steven Adams, interestingly enough, shooting together. They were working out this morning. So they're still obviously questionable for the game, but I imagine getting some shots up might, I don't know that they always let you know what's going to happen, because sometimes the guys are just getting their work in and they might not be full game ready, but I'm going to choose to view that from a hopeful lens that you still get Alperen Şengün tonight, because that's going to be a big game. I imagine that Adam Silver himself is viewing that from a hopeful lens, because they've done so much work to try and get stars playing and like big players playing in these big TV mm-hmm. matchups. It'd be a real shame if Alperen Şengün game time is like, I actually can't go.
Yeah, can't go. Just got this from the Houston Texans as well. Houston Texans cornerback Derek Stingley named first team All-Pro by the Sporting News.
Salute.
That's a big one. Sporting News is always one that's highly respected across the league.
Can we mess around and be like two-time All-Pro, even though it's the same year? Can we cheat the game like that?
Yeah,
because I feel like I would like to cheat the game like that.
Yeah,
he's an AP and a Sporting News All Pro, so he's a two-time All Pro.
Hey, that's two trophies, right?
Or if he had trophies, whatever it is,
two of them.
Yeah, give my man his hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back to the debate that we had earlier, not to bring back old stuff, but I'm bringing back old stuff. Someone did say, and I believe that this is the case, the Green Jacket can't leave the Augusta National grounds.
No, the champion can take it for a year. Once you win it, you take it the whole year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, then it goes back to Augusta.
I don't know. It don't sound like Laura Stanley's Cup.
I know far too much about this. There are two gold jackets that are not at Augusta. I think they're in museums somewhere. One of them is here in Houston, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to the 512 failing at pro golf at 22, but
that's a lot.
Does that mean you had a tour card?
Yeah.
Or what level of pro golf are we talking about? And then 713 med school at 22. No, shout out to you, man. That's tough work.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough work. And you did something. I hope you did something. Because, I mean, going to med school doesn't mean that you finished, but I hope that you did and that things went well for you. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into this. All the teams in Houston are in some level or of, like, I know, dance or what have you when it comes to team building. And that got me thinking, what is your belief level in the various Houston area general managers? 713-572-4610. Oh, yes, and somebody said, don't forget the NFLPA All-Pro, so three-time All-Pro All-Pro for Derek Stingley. But, yeah, what are your belief levels in the Houston area GMs? We'll talk about that next.